Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Prosperity Podcast. This is no BS money guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we have my co-host and best-selling financial author with us today, Kim Butler. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Todd. Happy to be here and excited to share some wisdom with our listeners that they can really sink their teeth in, as opposed to the chatterboxes that are going on in the media these days because of the wild week in the stock market. Of course, we're recording this on the, what you would say, maybe the eighth, ninth day, but I just noticed something recently that the big mess in 08 was September 29th. And so here we are headed into September. We've already had a wild week, and I think we're in for a pretty wild ride as we head forward. And it's one of the reasons that we at Partners for Prosperity do not like investing in the stock market. But nevertheless, we realize that some of our clients do. So we'll talk about that a little bit and talk about what they can do instead so that they can get good sleep at night.
Well, and I think, you know, maybe first we can kind of prep that this third quarter has been set for this. I think even the Federal Reserve has been telegraphing the fact that QE3 or whatever they want to call it was going to be the quarter that they potentially raised interest rates. So it's interesting that, you know, we're seeing this volatility, and I wonder how much of this volatility is actually pre-programmed, because there is segments of the marketplace that can make money on volatility, isn't there?
Absolutely. I was listening to a Tony Robbins video recording the other day, and he was bragging about how some of his investment guys have always been making money, even in crazy markets. And so it's absolutely possible to do it. I just don't feel that the volatility and the stress is worth it, because we have investments that make money regardless of what's going on in the stock market. And even the big, big players that are in the Tony Robbins level, if you will, are having to really put their noses to the grindstone and do extra work in order to make money in a volatile market.
Got it. And there's so many of us that I guess are with the traditional training in the stock market believe that you have to accept this level of volatility if you want a certain level of gain. So, you know, particularly double-digit gains seem like a very unrealistic number in anything that's safe right now. So you're pre-programmed to almost hunt this level of risk and volatility in order to get those double-digit returns. And that's one thing that you've always been against, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because this idea of the fact that you have to take on more risk in order to get reward is wrong, flat out wrong. And it always cracks me up when people say, well, how risky is that, when we're talking about some of our investments? And it's interesting that we have to sometimes get into the actual definition of risk. But obviously, everything has some risk, but volatility is a type of risk that we do not have to put up with. And I want to share a funny little story about knowing what you know. In other words, being really, really confident about what you know to be true. And most of our clients know in their heart of hearts that they don't have to put up with volatility, but they are not confident in that knowledge. So here's the story that may help drive this point home a little bit. Picture a college class, freshman students. It's the beginning of school, so this is a good time for this story. And it is calculus. And the professor comes in and writes a really complicated equation on the board and says, hey, who wants to solve this? So one student goes up, writes it out on the blackboard, or the whiteboard, I guess, and solves the problem. So he thinks, and the professor says, no, no, you're off from the start. So the student goes and sits down. Anybody else want to try it? Yeah. So another comes forward, erases all the first student's work, basically starts off solving the problem the same way. And the professor says, no, 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 no. This, you're starting off wrong. And so this student sits down. And a third one comes up and says, I'll try. And he starts writing on the board the exact same beginnings that the other two students did. And the professor says, no, this is the wrong beginning. And the student keeps on writing and just stands there while the professor's saying, nope. Nope, don't think that's going to do it. Well, nope. The student continues, and finishes the problem. And the professor says, oh my gosh, you're right. That's fabulous. And the other two students are just absolutely befuddled because they know that that's the way that they were going to solve the problem. And the professor says, this is the most important lesson that you'll learn. You can't just know the information. You have to know that you know it. You have to have the confidence to say, no matter what the professor is saying, or in our case, no matter what the media is saying, no matter what your friends are saying, no matter what your brother-in-law is saying, or whoever it is that you're talking to about your finances, you have to know that you know what you're doing, and you have to be confident in that knowledge. And so many of the things that we work with, you know, let's just name the three products. Whole life insurance, been around a couple hundred years. People naysay it all the time. Life settlements, been around over 100 years. People naysay it all the time. Bridge loans for investing, been around as long as real estate's been around. Peer-to-peer lending, been around literally since human beings began exchanging things. And people naysay both of those things all the time. So the story is there to remind us that we have to do our research, absolutely. One of my husband's favorite lines is, if it sounds too good to be true, then do more research and figure it out. Don't just naysay it right off the bat, because everything that we love sounded too good to be true. Electricity, the iPhone, or the VCR in its day, or, you know, whatever you think about, those things sounded too good to be true. But with a little bit of research and a little bit of diligence and some confidence on somebody's part, then those things came to be. And so our clients need to dig in, go ahead and do their research. If they hear from us something that sounds too good to be true, find out about the tax law in 1911 that started life settlements. Find out about the mutual ownership of life insurance companies. Talk to other people that provide bridge loans as investments or that have done peer-to-peer lending. And get your confidence up, and then don't let it be shaken. Don't let it be shaken by the media, by the talking heads, by the newspapers and the various articles out of magazines that you read. Boy, something that I've started to do of late is before I read anything, I go and look about the author. I want to know who's thinking I'm reading. And oftentimes I'll not read an article because of the author. I can tell they really don't have the background that I want to help me know that I know.
Fantastic. You know, I would want you to address sort of one other area in that too. And that's the excitement that I think people crave from investing. You know, these investments that you mention are paying double digits continuously, but they don't necessarily have the ability to, you know, have a 50% jump or a 50% decline in one afternoon like we see in the stock market. Do you think there's a percentage of people that are looking for that excitement that is maybe more gambling than investing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And good heavens, there's 100 different ways that we can get excitement in our life without having it affect our finances and our family's finances. But I do agree that sometimes it's excitement. Sometimes I think it's even bragging rights, like, oh, well, I picked a stock and it did this, or I picked a fund and it did that. But I also think that we fall into the trap as human beings of wanting something for nothing. We want to be able to put in just a little bit of money and have it turn into a lot of money. Or, and this is true in lots of areas of our lives, we want to eat right just part of the time, but have good health. Or we want to work out just part of the time, but have good physiques. So human beings can fall into the lure of excitement or gambling is basically another way to talk about that, or the lure of something for nothing. And yet we know in our heart of hearts that that isn't going to get us good long-term results. And so we need to be aware at this time in particular, whether or not we're thinking about the stock market in terms of, oh my gosh, I'm glad I got out of it, or oh my gosh, maybe I should get out of it, that when this period of volatility occurs, it can take decades to recover from. In the Depression, it was about a 22-year, I believe I've got the statistics right, 22-year time frame for things to, quote, get back even. Now, the last couple of years, we've had it happen in the 7-year time frame, from 01 to 08 and then 08 to 15 or so, both 7-year time frames where people, quote, got back even. But the problem with that is that your account may be, again, quote, back even. You missed out on 7 years of growth. And there's an opportunity cost with that. That growth that you didn't get, while we can be grateful that we're back even, that growth that you didn't get during that time frame is detrimental. So please, if you are thinking of getting out, now is the time. It's funny, I've just in the last week talked to a couple clients. Oh, it's down a little bit. Down compared to what? Down compared to 2008, 9? No, definitely up from that. Down compared to a couple days ago? Good heavens, let's use this as a wake-up call and turn to investments that are not so volatile, that are not putting us through the roller coaster ride, and do the life settlements or the bridge loans for investing and the life insurance for savings. Savings needs to become popular again. It is so not popular right now, and it's really hurting our families and our country, because when we save, then we can invest for the long run. And I know that the media pundits and even some of the government officials out there are saying, don't save, that takes money off the table. No, it doesn't. It helps us build for the long haul. And even if you're 70 years old, you've got probably 20, 30 years to go. That's the long haul. We need to be saving, and saving in the place where it's not taxed and where it can grow at 4 or 5%. And then investing where it's probably going to be taxed, because investments typically are, but is definitely growing double digits and not roller coaster riding.
Super. Any other thing you'd like to share with people as far as, you know, if you're looking at, there's two ways, I guess, to look at your investments. They're the money that you've already invested, and there's also the money that you're trying to accumulate for investments, which, you know, with the 401ks, the IRAs, it makes it really easy to take small amounts of money to start saving. Do you have strategies for that as well?
Absolutely. We recommend that people start their saving. And if you're at the beginning of a phase, could be because you're young or because you are needing to start over. But if you can start with monthly contributions into a place where you can control it. So 401ks could be one place, no doubt, especially if you get a match, but they're not very well controlled. So we feel it's better to save in a place where you can control it and build up to the $25,000 or $50,000 that is necessary to do real investing. So we can talk about that further. That's a great idea for another podcast. If people want to elaborate on that a bit, we can do that. And in the meantime, I'd really just like to open the door for anybody that would like to learn about our alternative investments that are earning double digits, or about our savings account environments that are earning the 4 or 5% without tax, to get in touch with us. Call us. You're welcome to get some information via email ahead of time. And if you prefer, email us. We'll send you some information via email ahead of time. And then let's get on the phone and strategize around your situation and help you get away from the volatility of the stock market into places that are growing without fluctuating, producing income without missing a beat every month, and a place to store cash for liquidity.
Super. And just for anybody who's out there listening, if you need the number to Partners for Prosperity, that is 877 877- 877-889-3981. Again, that's 877-889-3981. And then in the past shows, you've had a nice little gift for our listeners. Did you bring anything with you today?
Yeah, if people haven't had a chance to grab it yet, we have our Financial Planning Has Failed booklet. It's about 60 pages that does get into these three products and some of our strategies a little bit deeper. And that's at partners4prosperity.com/ebook. partners4prosperity.com/ebook. And I wanted to add to your phone number, the extension 120. That's the easiest way to get a hold of somebody. That's Jill. And she can get you started, get you some email information, and then if appropriate, schedule some time with me. Look forward to it.
Super. Well, again, this is No BS Money Guy Todd Strobel for the Prosperity Podcast. And once again, special thanks to Kim Butler. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partners4prosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.